to the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the season finale of the Remso Republic. It sounds actually really weird saying it out loud, finally. I've thought about how this episode was going to end. Typically, it's not scripted, as you could tell, but I wanted this to be a little bit different from how other season finales are. Whether you're watching a show, you're reading, you know, a series of novels or something else, the thing about season finale or series ends, preparing for something else, and if, in case you didn't see on Facebook or on Twitter, we'll be coming back at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, January 4th, for the premiere of Season 2. The way that things typically work is it's where the story comes together. It's where all the loose ends kind of find their ending. It's where everything just kind of settles. You know the story. You see how everything starts and how it ends. But this is different. Nothing is going the way that I ever thought it would go, and that's amazing. My life is full of contradictions and other things that, you know, I just never planned on. The show was one of them. If you hung on from the pilot we did way back in April to when we actually really premiered in June, you understand that we originally only planned 21 episodes. We only planned 21. As of right now, season one extended to a total of 38 episodes. It's because of listeners like you that helped the show grow. It's because of our awesome guests that were able to move around their schedules to come on. The great thing about this election cycle was that we were able to get on some fantastic candidates from across the political party spectrum to come on and talk about their mission and their vision for what they wanted to do, and just other great activists and movers and shakers. It's been an absolute honor to get to talk to these individuals. And as the election cycle closes, the year draws to an end, as you're about to listen to this, the day before Thanksgiving, I want to give you something that's going to give you an idea of how things are going to work when we come back in season two. Because it's, folks, I'm excited. The people we have lined up, the topics we're going to cover, the awesome opportunities we're going to have for you and your friends to interact with the show, it's phenomenal. We've grown from only a few hundred listens to thousands of downloads. We broke, I think it was 10,000 total downloads the other day. It's remarkable. But the purpose of the show from the beginning was to help empower people to do more. It was to help give an outlet to people that had a great vision and a great plan and give them an outlet to get help and support and get their message out there so they can go and do it and do amazing things. And that's where we're going to get back to it. The election is over, but if you thought this was just one election's worth of things that we had to deal with, then you're wrong, because the struggle for independence of the mind and everything else, it never ends. And I don't think there's a better person I could have brought on for the season finale than our guest tonight. He's the founder of Students for Liberty, which since 2008 has grown into 2,000 student groups, over 1,000 trained campus coordinators, and it's helped more than 90,000 students each year. He's gone on to do many other things, as well as become the a member of the board of advisors for the Atlas Society and Our America Initiative, and he's at Conscious Capitalism right now. If someone knows how to take a vision and do something great with it and actually turn it into something that's affecting how people think and live and act in their environment, it's this person. Ladies and gentlemen, Alexander McCobin. Alexander, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that very generous introduction.
It's not a problem at all. Just a little background, folks. And I promise I'll let Alexander talk for the good chunk of it. The first time I met Alexander was at the DC Campus Coordinator Retreat over a year ago. I've been SFL since about 2013, when I helped kind of start my student groups, thanks to the fantastic campus coordinators out in Alabama that helped me out. But whether I was watching his interviews or reading his blogs and everything else, Alexander, I think this is the first time I've told you this, but you've been a role model for me since 2013. So when we met, if I seemed kind of sheepish, it's because I just had this like celebrity moment with you. So I just wanted to throw that out there. This is like full circle for me at this point to have you on and talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. So just want to throw that out there.
Well, I'm glad this is a podcast and no one can see me blushing right now.
Anyway, to kind of start things off, I've had a good dozen people message me online and send me emails, and these are people that were never politically active before, but because of all the ruckus and everything going on with the election, they've come from the left and they've come from the right. They're like, Remso, I want to get involved in the liberty movement. I want to do something awesome. Do I just start joining every libertarian Facebook group online? Do I start tweeting out every terrible article out there and start tearing it apart? How do I be an activist? And the first thing I've been telling them is, well, why do you want to be involved in the begin with? I mean, to begin with, why are you suddenly primed to take action now? And why are you limiting yourself to that? The amazing thing about you is you took a student organization that was just you and a couple of your friends, and you turned it into this international body for liberty. What's your advice to people that are just now understanding the ideas of liberty and they want to help make an impact in their community?
When I turned 30, I wrote a blog post summarizing the most important lessons I've learned over those 30 years. And they can be encapsulated in what I call the four P's: purpose, people, place, and perseverance. The first thing you should do, not only in advancing freedom, but in your life, is really figure out what your purpose is. What are you passionate about? What do you jump out of bed in the morning because you're excited to work on? If making the world a freer place is it, that's fantastic. But take it a step further and answer, what way do you want to go about making the world a freer place? What is your strategy? What is the best skills and initiatives you can bring to the table in order to make the world freer? That's your purpose that you can use in order to become a meaningful activist for liberty. Once you have that figured out, make sure you're surrounded by the right people. This is a lesson that you'll hear over and over again from successful individuals, and it's because it's incredibly true. If you surround yourself with the right people, you are going to be more successful and you're going to lead a fuller life than if you surround yourself with individuals who inhibit your ability to succeed, who bring you down. The people you're with are going to be the greatest influences upon you. Make sure the people that are positive additions to your life who are going to help you going forward. When I talk about place, I mean the physical environment that you're in. We are not disembodied minds. We are actually embodied creatures and need to really think about who we are as physical beings in the space we inhabit. If you are in an ordered space, if you're in a location where you're able to connect with other individuals easily who are going to help you out, if you're in a physical location that inspires you or allows you to focus, you're going to be a lot more successful than if you're in a location where you are not inspired, where you're not able to focus your attention on the task at hand, where you're not able to interact with the kinds of people that are going to help you out. Don't just take ideas and everything that you're doing from an abstract perspective as the keys to success. You need to make sure that you are in the right environment in order to allow yourself to succeed as well. But lastly, even when you have a purpose and you're surrounded by the right people and you're in the best physical location in order to succeed, it takes perseverance. No matter what you do in life, you are going to run into obstacles, especially if you're trying to create a freer world. Life and activism especially are not all sunshine and rainbows. You have to be willing to overcome the challenges that are presented before you in order to succeed. That's the only way to advance liberty forward. It's two steps forward and one step backward and continually progressing in spite of the hardships that you face. But if you can bring those four things together, having a purpose, being around the right people, having the right physical place, and persevering through everything, you're going to make a difference.
So for people who want to become more active for liberty now, I think that's absolutely great. Really reflect upon what you can do to advance liberty. What is your specific purpose? What skills interests, and then find the right people who can help you leverage that, be in the right place, and be ready for things to get difficult and work through them no matter what.
Exactly. A common theme I keep kind of hearing as I'm kind of going back and forth with people to kind of see what their personalities are, because personality is it's kind of a big thing, because everyone has their own intrinsic type of personality traits that can be used in a way which is most effective. And what I had a couple people bring up to me was, you know, I won't say his name, but this is a good point. He said, "Remso, I just don't think that I have leadership potential." Now, that's a big thing. And before we even get to vision, great leaders have a vision of what they want to see and how they want to get there. I think everyone has vision. So for this guy to say that he doesn't have leadership, I think he's cutting himself short. Because to have a vision in the first place of the thing that he wants to do already shows that he has kind of a drive to make an impact. So kind of like what I told him was, man, if you don't want to go start off your own student group, if you don't want to start a protest or a rally or something else, simply talking to people that have a different worldview than you, simply trying to, you know, be a little bit more involved in the conversation, that's the best start. And sometimes what it involves is, like you said, getting involved with the right people. When you're surrounded by a group of individuals that share a common vision, that's what can propel you to take those chances, to take those challenges head on that can help you show your leadership potential. Am I kind of hitting the right area?
I think you're absolutely right. For some reason, there's this misperception that leadership is an inherent quality some people are born with. But I think there couldn't be a more false statement out there. Leadership is something that people develop over time. Some individuals may naturally be more confident or have a certain charm about them that's part of their natural personality that makes them more inclined to seek leadership roles, but it's only to seek that role. Anyone is capable of being an effective leader. It's about understanding who you are as an individual. What are your skills? What are you really passionate about and that you're going to put all of your energy behind and really utilize that in order to show people what kind of better future you can build with them and then relentlessly working to implement that?
Exactly. And because I go to the largest Christian university in the world, when I'm talking to people with the student groups that I work with still, I like to use biblical references. And what I try and remind, you know, a lot of the people at Liberty University specifically is that Moses waited over 60 years before he was called to liberate the people of Israel. And even as he's standing, you know, in front of the burning bush, he's making every excuse possible. "I'm not a good speaker. I stutter. I don't have confidence. Choose my brother. My brother is a lot stronger and tougher and more headstrong than me. Choose him to do it." And that's the thing that a lot of people do. They have these opportunities that kind of land in front of them, these opportunities for them to take charge and do change, and they try and find ways out of it because they're intimidated by the process. In the last campaign I worked on recently, we had a person whose job was public affairs. He was terrified of talking to people. But what we found out was that he was the best social media coordinator and strategist that I had ever seen. So all we had to do was switch him around, put him in an area where he was able to take charge and really take ownership of his product. And then he was able to, you know, do amazing things, whether it was outreach or getting information out there or planting a money bomb. He was fantastic at it. So I think for people to cut themselves short because they don't believe that they have a leadership potential, like you said, I think that's a big obstacle. Are there any other obstacles that you see that people kind of face when they're presented with an opportunity and they want to back down from it?
I often think people can be intimidated by an end goal, by a grandiose vision of changing the world. It's typically because they think they're going to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour once, or that within the blink of an eye, they're going to be responsible for 1,000 individuals when they haven't managed 10 individuals before.
Really, that's not how you develop leadership skills, and that's not the path. What's more important than assuming a particular role or taking on a certain position or title is about figuring out a problem you want to solve and how you can make a difference in addressing that.
When Students for Liberty began, we had no idea it was going to turn into the international movement it became. We were originally just a handful of students planning what we thought would be a one-time 30-person conference. it ended up attracting 100 students and led us to say, all right, let's turn this into a nonprofit with year-round resources. Maybe we'll support 100 student groups a year, but that's it. Where Students for Liberty today is a result of a snowball effect. We didn't plan this end result at any point in its growth. We simply tackled one challenge at a time, took advantage of one opportunity at a time, and before we knew it, we looked back and said, wow, that was unexpected.
And that's a much easier way to take on that kind of responsibility, because I'll say right now, if I was 21, 22 years old again when we were starting SFL and I saw an organization like that today, I would not have been qualified to take it over right away. I would have probably been too intimidated to even try to as well. It's better to start small, take on whatever problem you want to solve in the world, contribute to it in some small but meaningful way, and just see what happens. Don't get scared by the end goal, the end impact that you may eventually have, when you really should just begin with the first step.
Exactly. Alexander, we're going to continue this conversation, but first we're going to go ahead and cut to our first commercial break. Folks, before we go, I do want to bring up our affiliate sponsors, Libertarian Country. Now, a lot of you are introverts. That's just what you tell me. I'm not assuming that. That's what a lot of you tell me. A lot of you are introverts. But you've got a snarky personality because you're a libertarian. That's just how you are. You're ragtag. You're a rebel. You're awesome. So how do you show that in a way without actually going out and explicitly saying it, you know, getting a megaphone and yelling it to the world? Check out our friends at libertariancountry.com. They have a wide range of t-shirts, bumper stickers, just some of the funniest designs you'll ever see. I recently bought a t-shirt that has the Statue of Liberty holding an M16. It's absolutely fantastic. And if you go to our website, www.remsorepublic.com, and you click on support, you'll go ahead and see how you could actually buy a t-shirt through Libertarian Country while also supporting the program at the same time. So go ahead and check that out. Apart from that, folks, we'll be back from this commercial break. You're listening to the Remsa Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsa Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Today's program is brought to you by Jeff Peterman at the Conservanator Nation. Have you not heard of it yet? Well, for those of you that don't know, the Conservanator Nation is the newest project of former congressional candidate Jeff Peterman. Jeff is a strong and strident conservative and a Christian, and with his newest podcast, The Conservanator Nation, he's trying to basically give people like him a voice outside of the media. Because if we know one thing, it's that the media is not friendly to the ideas of anyone that's not a progressive liberal. And while Jeff and I may have different points, what we need are a free market of ideas, and Jeff is offering that to you. So go ahead and check him out at Jeff Peterman-Conservanator on Facebook, and also check out his website, www.conservanator.com. Check it out today.
Hello, my name is Alex Merceda, and a great way to promote the libertarian message is through libertarian media. Blogs, podcasts, videos. At libertarianwingmedia.com, it's an open-door policy for any libertarian who would like to contribute. So just email me at alexmerced@alexmerced.com and I'll set you up as an author. At libertariansocial.com, you can have a profile, create groups, become friends with other members, message other members, and post blogs. At libertarian101.com, you'll find several videos on pretty much any question you can think of and any issue libertarian. So check those out and make sure to subscribe to great libertarian podcasts, such as the Alex Mercedcast, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, Lions of Liberty, and the Remso Republic. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. We have Alexander McCobin still with us on the program. Alexander, you still there?
I am.
Perfect. So another message I got from a listener of the show was this. He calls himself a baby libertarian because he always thought he was a conservative, but whether it came to self-ownership or the surveillance state, there were just a lot of political factors that made him take the leap into libertarianism. And his question is, he sees many different outlets to get involved with. And you yourself have been part of many great organizations. You still currently are, and you're able to do that all at once. But he wants to dedicate his full attention, efforts, and everything into just one, because he just wants to kind of test the waters and see how he fits. And he's wondering, should I get involved with Students for Liberty on campus? Should I go work with a specific policy group? Should I work with the Libertarian Party? He seems like, you know, it's like this shiny object effect. There are a lot of shiny objects fighting for his attention, and he doesn't want to, you know, go to one but miss out on the other. What would you tell the people that are just getting into activism and they're looking at all these different political outlets to go and actually make change? Where should they start in deciding what they want to do?
I think it all comes down to figuring out what you're most interested in or what your greatest skills really are and how you can leverage that. The answer to that question is going to vary person by person. Some people are really interested in contributing to the policy arena. They want to write. They want to develop white papers. They want to eventually publish books. And that's going to lead them down a very different path from those individuals who are really interested in, say, organizing, who want to start a new student group or are willing to put events on and do other things. The most important thing is to reflect upon what you've been good at so far, what you're passionate about, and whether there's an organization and an opportunity there that'll fit that. Now, I am biased. If someone is a student, I think the first place they should go is Students for Liberty, because it's a platform for you to figure out what you're really strong at, for to develop leadership skills and access opportunities with other organizations so you can specialize afterwards. Students for Liberty is not supposed to be all-encompassing in a person's life, but rather a place to learn what you're best at and where you can contribute most to Liberty and go forward from there. So if you're a student, I do think Students for Liberty is the best place to go. But in general, it's all about figuring out who you are and what your contribution is going to be. And as libertarians, I think we actually need to be more focused on individualized approaches to working with individuals. It seems like that should be natural for us because we understand the importance of individual rights and individual autonomy. But the same goes with developing individual skills, preferences, and activities as well.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like I said with my friend who didn't like doing public affairs, but he was amazing when it came to social media. It's about finding the area you want. And folks, especially if you're a young millennial listener, it's not like you don't have time to go around everywhere. While I was still a Students for Liberty campus coordinator, I had done an internship at FreedomWorks where I got involved in education policy and activism. From there, I jumped into the Libertarian Party, found out that was not where I was meant to be. If you believe in God, even if you don't, but hear me out, I just believe that, you know, I was not meant to be there. And with all the things that was going on with the Libertarian Party, God did not want me there. So I moved elsewhere, got involved with some other organizations. Some of them were great. Some of them I didn't feel like I was contributing to enough. Eventually, that's how I landed on this show. And yet I still managed to go do things. And I even worked at places where I wasn't necessarily comfortable. I went and worked for the Media Research Center, which was a very conservative organization. I worked for a Republican. I'll probably go work for another libertarian, just a campaign, not a party, because like I said earlier, but there are so many outlets out there. Heck, even on campus, even though I'm not an active campus coordinator right now, I'm still working with the gun rights group. I mean, it's about going to the places where you feel you can make the best impact. If you feel like you're in an environment where the people aren't working with you, where you're not contributing, where you just don't feel like that's where you're meant to be, you can go take a flavor of everything. What that's going to do is that's going to give you experience. That's going to give you the training. That's going to give you the opportunity to learn about how other people work and the good and the bad. It makes you a better person. It makes you a better leader. It's about working on that leadership, and we need that with libertarians. Speaking of which, you know, something that...
And
yeah, go ahead.
There are two other points I want to add to that. The first is you not only want to have experience with other organizations to see what's out there, but to learn as much as you can. In case you have experience with one role because it's not the right fit for you, it's important to know that there are other opportunities out there so that you're not disappointed that you don't feel like it's time to leave. The second thing is that you don't always have to go to an explicitly pro-liberty organization or effort to advance liberty. There are lots of ways to do so in your daily life, like starting a business. That can be one of the best ways to empower other individuals and show the ability of people to voluntarily collaborate with one another and make the world a better place. It's about exploring all of the options out there.
Exactly. Speaking of that, it kind of leads us down the rabbit hole to this next question. When you get involved with activism, when you get involved in the realm of politics, if you're a very active person and you believe in the vision that you want to turn into action and turn into a reality, you're gonna be in situations that are going to test your integrity. You're going to be in situations where you might be a little bit intimidated by people. Another common theme that I've been seeing from people who have spoken to me on this topic is they're afraid of making the bad decision, that they're going to do something so hardcore they're going to make enemies. You know, I don't know what's gone on with your life, but I'm just assuming, just because of how active you've been, have you ever been intimidated by a political opposition to back down from what you believe?
So I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill, and he has a great line. You have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something, sometime in your life. And I think that's absolutely correct. If you ever stand up for anything, there are going to be people who disagree with you. And you need to be ready to stand your ground with that. Everyone faces people who make disagreements. Everyone faces individuals who challenge them and may seem like a worrisome, and you may be worried about, but it's just part of what we're doing if we're actually standing up for principle. So sure, I've been in situations where I've been disappointed that people have disagreed with me, that I've faced opposition that have at times I've seemed intimidating. But if you believe you're doing what's right, that should give you the courage to keep pressing forward, to continue to do what's right, even in the face of opposition.
Exactly. It's even in those moments where what you believe really shows to people. Because, like I said at the beginning, there are a lot of people who are in leadership roles out there, but there are only a handful of people, even in just human history alone, that had vision. And that's how you have such revolutionary change when it comes to things. And I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
So I'm thinking more about your question, and I'll be honest, the specifics of it, I don't think I could answer in the affirmative, though. Have I faced political opposition that has intimidated me? I've absolutely had people criticize me because I'm a libertarian. I've had people challenge me on various issues. I've been in arguments and, let's say, intellectual fights that I thought were disappointing. But really, whenever I've faced opposition for my beliefs, it's never intimidated me, because if I'm going to take a stand on something, it is something I believe in. And that's given me the courage and the backing to continue going forward. A lot of people in SFL have heard me talk about lessons from my father, because he was the greatest influence on my life. And he would always tell me, if you lose your integrity, you lose everything. And if that's your guiding principle, if you know you believe in what's right and you're willing to stand up for it, it's pretty easy to not be intimidated after that.
That's perfect. And that leads me to my last question for now. With the rise of the alt-right, with progressivism being the way it is, going into this new year, as people are taking an inventory of their being, as they're looking at the future ahead of us, as they're trying to capture that vision, do you think, and let's just talk about the United States specifically, do you think we're going in a direction that is more favorable or more anti the ideals of limited government and free enterprise?
I realize after last week, this may be tough to see, but I think we are actually heading in the right direction. Politics is binary. One side wins, one side loses. It's one of the few realms in life where the zero-sum game actually applies. But in everything else, we're living a positive-sum game where people, when they collaborate with one another, when they interact with one another, are actually making the world a better place, and we are progressing. Last week, when it came to the presidential election, people had really only two options and two really bad options. The country was incredibly divided between them, but there was one unanimous voice that came out of it. The people were upset with the options presented to them. And that's because I think most people are becoming more pro-liberty over time. There were a lot of wins from a libertarian perspective. Marijuana legalization had a great day. Libertarians were reelected across the country, including Rand Paul, Justin Amash, and Mike Lee. And in general, people are coming to a consensus that freedom is the right way forward. Now, we're going to face a lot of challenges and threats to liberty with this new administration and the direction things are going. It's not just the alt-right and the extreme left sides of the spectrum that are going to dig in their trenches right now. There are two options for the country. Each side can either say, we need to double down on our extremism. The left is already going through that, saying that they ought to be more extremist in identity politics and the socialism of Bernie Sanders in order to win. You have people on the right saying the only way forward in the future is to become more nationalistic, to support the alt-right, to do the kinds of things that got Trump elected in his surprising victory. But there is an alternative. There is an opportunity for libertarians now to be the positive, unifying, visionary force in America that says neither of those actually is sustainable. We are able to come together as a single country and work with one another, celebrating our differences and celebrating what we have in common, which is a commitment to the principles of freedom, justice, and individual rights that founded this country. But only if libertarians take a lead in that effort and bring the moderates from both sides together to provide for a better way forward.
Exactly. Alexander, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remso Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Remso in the mix.
You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers?
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
It is an absolute and total dictatorship taken over by the Chicago mob.
I don't know. I wouldn't be doing this dumbass live streaming if I weren't. So, yes, I still am running for president. Get over it.
Right, nice report. And now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
So much noise from people. I mean, when did we actually go to certain individuals to learn how to think? When was the last time they actually just asked you, make your own decision, come to your own conclusion? There are a lot of talking heads out there, but when it comes to actual factual insightful information, where do I go? There are many good sites out there, but in terms of just one individual I usually keep my eye out for, it's got to be one of the best bloggers I think I've ever read. He gives you the perfect clash of libertarian and conservative insight. Who is this individual? Well, let me tell you. His name is Joel Curtinitis. That's Curtinitis. Joel Curtinitis. He's a branded contributor at The Blaze. He's at the Liberty Conservative, and currently he's at the Des Moines Register. And let me tell you, if you want to listen to a person that has a dry and quick wit, he's incredibly well-read, and he's just going to give you straight talk. This is it. You can find Joel Curtinitis on Twitter at Joel_Curtinitis, or you can find him on Facebook. If you're looking for someone that just gets straight to the point, gives you insightful knowledge that you're not going to get anywhere else, it's Joel Curtinitis. So check him out today.
How about the rest of us? Right-winging, bitter, clinging, proud clingers of our guns, our God, and our religions, and our Constitution tell us that we're not red enough.
Avoid the noise of Joel Curtinitis.
Alexander, something that we've been talking about this entire episode, everything leads back to Vision. Now, you're an extremely accomplished individual. You've already done so much for the cause of liberty in, you know, relatively speaking, a very short amount of time. And you're only 30, right?
That's right.
Exactly. You know, most people in your position, they'd say, I've done enough. I've made my impact. I don't know where to go from here. And some people are like, I've made my impact. I've done all I can. I can stop now and pull myself out of this movement that I've spent so much time in. When it comes to just you as an individual, you're dynamic. So I'm just curious, what's your vision for what you want to accomplish? Let's talk 10, 20, 30 years out. Are you still in it 100%? What's going on in your mind?
So I don't know if I would say I'm only 30. I'd say I'm 30 because I remember when we started SFL, 30 seemed really old back then. But for me, I know what my life's purpose is. I'm here to make the world a freer and more prosperous place. And whatever I do over the next 10, 20, 30, and hopefully more years than that, I'm going to be in it 100% to keep doing that. And there are lots of different ways to accomplish it. Right now, I'm incredibly happy and proud to be with an organization that I think is contributing to that. Conscious capitalism is providing a new way forward for business to be the best representative of and defenders of capitalism. But that's going to require a different way of approaching things than we've talked about in the past. I see myself with this organization for the foreseeable future. There's a lot of work for us to do here. And I think there are a lot of other avenues for other people to continue to work upon in order to achieve that for your future. There's no silver bullet to this. We need a diversity of strategies employed in order to make the world a freer place. And we need as many people to work on those as possible.
Outstanding. Alexander, kind of wrap things up. If you had to just give one solid piece of advice to all these new, let's just call them baby libertarians trying to figure out what to do, what's the one thing you really want to send home with them? Even though they should have been paying attention to everything else, we'll pretend to let it slide for a second. What's the biggest thing you want them to take home?
Think long term. This is not something that's going to change overnight. This is not a battle that's going to be over in 4 years or 8 years. This is something that we are going to need to continue to work on. And there is never a permanent victory for liberty. We have to be vigilant. We have to remain principled, even when it gets really difficult. And that's not just something to think about for liberty. It's something to think about with life. Life is not a short-term game either. The more that we can think about what's going to happen over the next 30 to 60 years, and the more that we work to achieve our goals that far down the road, the better off everyone is going to be, both individually and collectively.
Outstanding. Alexander, if people want to connect with you, learn more about conscious capitalism and everything else, how can they do so?
To learn about conscious capitalism, they should check out our website, consciouscapitalism.org. And if they want to learn more about me or reach out to me at any point, check out my website at McCobin.com.
Outstanding. Alexander McCobin from Conscious Capitalism, thank you so much for coming on the program, sir. It's been an absolute blast having you on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with you again.
Folks, don't tear up. Don't cry. Don't go into a state of desperation. We'll only be gone for a month, and we'll be right back here, as always, on your platform of choice, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or even Player FM. That's something that came out of nowhere. Producer Ryan was able to get the show streamed through Player FM. There are so many ways to listen to us now, but what's one thing you could easily do to help kind of spread these ideas? If you like these conversations, if you want to hear from people like Alexander McCobin or Robert Sarvis or Marissa Hamilton and the other amazing individuals we've had on for season one, share the show around. Check out our website, which we were able to finally get down, www.remsorepublic.com, and I can't wait to start off season two with you on January 4th. As always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Have an amazing Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything else. Take inventory of your life and go out and do amazing things. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?